166. A new discovery about drink. Researchers have discovered a link between drinking and thinking. A moderate amount of alcohol may help us keep our mental abilities as we age. Brain scans show alcohol abuse kills brain cells. But little is known about the effects of lifelong drinking. So moderate drinkers may want to toast new findings from researchers at Duke and Indiana University. Dr. Joel Christian of Indiana University says men who have one or two drinks each day retain slightly stronger comprehension skills than the non-drinker or the heavy drinker. The doctor and his colleagues gave mental tests to nearly 4,000 male twins between the ages of 66 and 76. The moderate drinkers had slightly better reasoning ability than their brothers who drink more or less. Other studies have found that alcohol in moderation can help the heart. But alcohol abuse can cause bone loss and other health problems. This study was presented at an alcoholism meeting in San Antonio.
167. Dealing with stress. The problems that come with high levels of stress can cause serious complications and illness, and therefore, it seems wise for people to know how to cope with the stress that modern society imposes. Of course, there are many reactions to stress. Some people eat or drink to excess. Some spend hours on the phone or email all their friends to clear their minds, and others adopt that age-old remedy for repressed feelings, to scream loudly. People's ways of dealing with stress range from distressing, self-destructive behaviors to the downright odd. I found that the most effective methods of stress relief are singing and dancing. I felt this strongly while watching disco-goers lost in the latest dance craze. People of different ages and occupations gain pleasure together at the singing coffee shop. You can see it in the expressions on their faces when they are singing. The sources of stress and the reactions to it differ from person to person, and so, inevitably, there is a vast range of different solutions and coping strategies. But what is clearly important is that everyone be able to recognize stress and cope with it effectively before it develops into a major problem.
168. Fearing death. Some old people are oppressed by the fear of death. In the young, there is a justification for the feeling. Young men who have reason to fear that they will be killed in battle may justifiably feel bitter in the thought that they have been cheated of the best things that life has to offer. But in an old man who has known human joys and sorrows and has achieved whatever work it was in him to do, the fear of death is somewhat abject and ignoble. The best way to overcome it seems to me, is to make your interests gradually wider and more impersonal, until bit by bit the walls of the ego recede and your life becomes increasingly merged in the universal life. An individual man's existence should be like a river, small at first, narrowly contained within its banks, and rushing passionately past boulders and over waterfalls. Gradually, the river grows wider, the banks recede, the waters flow more quietly, and in the end, without any visible break, they become merged in the sea and painlessly lose their individual being. The man who, in old age, can see his life in this way will not suffer from the fear of death, since the things he cares for will continue. And if with the decay of vitality, weariness increases, the thought of rest will not be unwelcome. I should wish to die while still at work, knowing that others will carry on what I can no longer do, and content in the thought that what was possible has been done.
169. Health is more important than wealth. As the proverb says, no one knows the value of health until he loses it. In other words, nothing is more valuable than health. It is clear that health is the foundation of one's future success. If you become sick, it is nearly impossible to pursue your career effectively, much less make your dreams come true. On the other hand, if you are strong, you can go all out to overcome the obstacles that lie ahead of you. Health is the resource of our energy. What should we do to maintain our health? First, we should exercise every day to strengthen our muscles. Second, we might as well keep good hours. If we get up early, we can breathe fresh air and see the sunrise. This habit can do wonders for our outlook on life. Third, there is a proverb that says, "Prevention is better than cure." If you pay close attention to your health, you can avoid getting sick, or at least cure yourself of a disease while it is still in its beginning stage. In conclusion, health is more important than wealth. Those who are rich but poor in health are no more fortunate than those who are poor but healthy in body. If you want your wish to come true, health is the most important component of your success.
170. The killer, smoking. 2 days later, I was wheeled into the surgery. The tumor was inoperable, so they just sewed me up again. After a month or so, I went for radiation treatment, 5 days a week for 7 weeks. It made me unbelievably tired. On the way home, Bernice would have to pull the car off the road so I could vomit. One of the first walks I took was out to the letterbox. It's less than 100 meters away, but I had to sit down halfway there. The birds were singing, and the smell of honeysuckle filled the air. I thought, the world is such a beautiful place. Why did I have to ruin it for myself by smoking? I'm angry with myself for smoking, but I'm also angry with the tobacco companies. I saw a couple of cigarette executives on TV the other day, and they had the gall to say there's no proof that smoking is bad for you. I'm proof. Today, when I look in the mirror, I am shocked by what I see. A man with no teeth, a scar from his chest round to his back, struggling to walk, face distorted with pain. And then I realize what I want to do. I want to have my picture blown up and plastered all over the world on giant billboards. Because now, you see, I'm the real Marlboro Man.
171. Food and health. The food we eat seems to have profound effects on our health. Although science has made enormous steps in making food more fit to eat, it has, at the same time, made many foods unfit to eat. Some research has shown that perhaps 80% of all human illnesses are related to diet, and 40% of cancer is related to the diet as well, especially cancer of the colon. Some cultures are more prone to contract certain illnesses because of the food that is characteristic in these cultures. That food is related to illness is not a new discovery. In 1945, government researchers realized that nitrates, commonly used to preserve color in meats and other food additives, caused cancer. Yet these carcinogenic additives remain in our food. and it becomes more difficult all the time to know what is contained in our food. Farmers often give penicillin to beef and poultry, and because of this, penicillin has been found in the milk of treated cows. Sometimes similar drugs are administered to animals not for medicinal purposes, but for financial reasons. The farmers are simply trying to fatten the animals in order to obtain a higher price on the market. Although the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, has tried repeatedly to control these procedures, the practices continue.
172. Vitamins. As is known to all, vitamins are essential to our health. Listed in the table are three different kinds of vitamins. They are vitamins A, B, and C. Vitamin A comes mainly from milk, butter, cheese, fish, and green vegetables. It is very important for healthy skin and teeth, as well as for normal growth of the human body. Lack of it may cause skin troubles and bad eyesight, and our resistance to disease may be lowered accordingly. Vitamin B is chiefly contained in bread, meat, milk, liver, and potatoes. It can play the role of a catalyst in digestion of food. If we are short of it, we will probably lose our appetite and our growth will be slowed. Vitamin C generally exists in fruit, potatoes, and green vegetables. It is necessary for the formation of teeth, bones, and blood vessels. Without enough of it, our growth will also be slowed. The amount of different kinds of vitamins needed daily by humans varies considerably. We need about 1 milligram of vitamin C and 20 milligrams of vitamin B for the regular period of time. It is true that we do not need too much vitamins, but it is also true that we cannot live healthily without them.
173. On drugs. People's attitudes toward drugs vary from person to person. Some regard them as miracles. Others think of them as dangerous. Then what is the sensible attitude toward drugs? I think the first thing to think about is the difference between drugs and wonder drugs. The major diseases threatening Americans today are cancer, stroke, high blood pressure, etc. Against them, the doctor's bag of tricks is limited. He has no wonder drugs. So the first important lesson is not to expect too much from drugs. If you can accept the fact that the war against many of our most devastating diseases is, at best, a holding operation rather than an inevitable triumph, it will do a great deal to ease your own life as well as that of your doctor. Too many patients exert great pressures on doctors to prescribe for every syndrome, even when such treatment is unwanted or dangerous. Unfortunately, the medical profession is guilty of taking part, to a certain degree, in the wrongful action. The patient who demands a shot of penicillin for every sniffle and sneeze may be given the injection by a reluctant physician because he is certain that if he does not, the patient will search until he finds a doctor who will.
174. A pain-killing wonder from China. As world travel increases, nations learn from each other. In the United States today, there are many evidences of this fact. One of the latest imports is acupuncture, the use of needles for treating diseases. Although acupuncture has been practiced in China for 2,000 years, its use in the Western world is still very new. Several hospitals in the United States are now experimenting with acupuncture as a way of treating pain. An American journalist who stood beside a patient during an operation in Shanghai recently described the process and its effects. To keep the patient from feeling pain during the operation, 4 needles were used, each about 1.5 inches long. 2 needles were inserted under the skin on each side of the patient's neck. The tops of the needles were attached to wires which led to a small electrical device. Throughout the operation, the patient talked calmly to those standing around him, insisting that he felt perfectly normal. At one point, he stretched out his hands and moved his bare toes to show that only his chest and neck were affected. How does acupuncture work? How is it able to keep a patient from feeling pain? No very satisfactory answer has been given, but there are at least 3 theories. Some doctors believe that acupuncture somehow produces an effect upon the central nervous system. Others believe that acupuncture produces a chemical change in the body's fluids. Still another theory is that the needles make contact with an unknown system of energy in the body, which travels along certain routes under the skin. The true explanation may be one of these or a combination of more than one. It may be something entirely different.
175. Dream. People dream 4 to 6 times a night. They dream while they are in the REM stage of sleep, which means rapid eye movement stage in one sleep. Sleepers go into the REM stage about every 30 minutes. The first dream of the night may last about 10 minutes. Each dream goes a little longer. The last dream of the night may be 1 hour long. People need their dreams. Younger children spend more time dreaming. Babies spend almost half of their sleep in the REM stage. One experiment showed that everyone needed to dream. Doctors gave some people sleeping pills. These sleeping pills didn't let them go to REM sleep. After a few nights without dreams, they began to feel bad. They became angry easily. They worried a lot, and they wanted to fight with everyone. Then they stopped taking the sleeping pills. They all began to dream all night for a few nights to catch up. Why do people dream? Dreams give them time to find the answers to some of their problems. If they think they will have difficult problems the next day, they may spend more time on REM sleep the night before. In their dreams, they may find an answer to their problems.
176. The potential threat of human health. Where do pesticides put into the picture of environmental disease? We have seen that they now pollute soil, water, and pond, and that they have the power to make our streams no fish, and our gardens and woodlands silent, and no birds. Man, however much he may like to pretend the contrary, is part of nature. Can he escape a pollution that is now so thoroughly distributed throughout our world? We know that even single exposures to these chemicals, if the amount is large enough, can cause extremely severe poisoning. But this is not the major problem. The sudden illness or death of farmers, farm workers, and others exposed to sufficient quantities of pesticides are very sad and should not occur. For the pollution as a whole, we must be more concerned with the delayed effects of absorbing small amounts of the pesticides that invisibly pollute our world. Responsible public health officials have pointed out that the biological effects of chemicals are cumulative over long periods of time, and that the danger to the individual may depend on the sum of the exposures received throughout his lifetime. For these very reasons, the danger is easily ignored. It is human nature to shake off what may seem to us a threat of future disaster. Men are naturally most impressed by diseases which have obvious signs, says a wise physician, Dr. René Dubois. Yet some of their worst enemies slowly approach them unnoticed.
177. Healthy eating. In the Western world, people used to be greatly dependent on convenience foods, frozen peas, tinned meat and fish, ready-to-eat meals from the supermarket, anything which is quick to prepare, looks more or less appetizing, and satisfies the immediate hunger. Increasingly, over the past decade, people have become aware of the need to change their eating habits, for much of the particularly processed food they eat is not good for the health. As a result, natural foods, foods that do not contain chemical additives and have not been affected by chemical fertilizers, are gaining a growing popularity among health-aware people. Natural foods, for example, are vegetables, fruits, and grains having grown in soil that is rich in organic matter. This soil has been nourished by unused vegetable matter, which provides it with essential vitamins and minerals. This in itself is a natural process compared with the use of chemicals and fertilizers, the main purpose of which is to increase the amount rather than the quality of foods grown in commercial farming areas. Natural foods also include animals which have been fed and allowed to move freely in healthy pastures. Compare this with what happens in the mass production of poultry. There are computer monitoring farms where thousands of chickens live together and are fed on food which is little better than rubbish. Chickens kept in this way are not only tasteless as food, but also produce eggs lacking vitamins.
178. Smoking. Children as young as 11 are suffering lung damage from too much smoking. A survey of 10,500 London school children, aged between 11 and 15, shows lung damage and illness from smoking. The research was carried out by a hospital team led by Professor Goose. The team was worried that most reports on the dangers of smoking have concentrated on adults. The scientists wanted to find out how children were affected and whether they understood smoking could make them seriously ill. The number of adults has gone down steadily, but the number of children smoking remained constant. This is mainly because children find it hard to believe that health warnings apply to them. The research was carried out in 13 Hounslow secondary schools. Analysis showed 15% of regular smokers coughed every day. Even a little exercise brought on breathlessness among 40% of regular smokers aged 11 to 13. A survey of school absence suggested that non-smokers had better health than the smokers. About 53% of regular smokers admitted to bring up phlegm when they had a cold, compared to only 2% of non-smokers. But Professor Goose's team was surprised at the children's ignorance of the damage caused by smoking. Both non-smokers and smokers knew cigarettes could cause cancer, but few know of the other health risks. Professor Goose said, "We believe that health education may be improved by making full use of knowledge concerning the breathing disorders in children who are regular smokers. This information must be presented early, even at primary school."
179. Asking for enrollment. Come in. What can I do for you?
Professor Donald, are you giving your advanced geology course again next semester?
Yes, I'm planning it.
I wonder if I could enroll in it. I know it's a graduate course, and I am only a junior, but...
Aren't you a bit young? I've allowed qualified seniors to take the course, and they usually have a hard time keeping up.
I know, but the geology of the American West is my major interest, and I've done a lot of reading in the field. Last semester, I took Professor Berman's course, and I didn't find it really challenging enough.
I see. You certainly aren't one of those students who are for easy grades.
I should say that. I really want to learn something.
Well, I'll speak to Professor Berman about it. If he thinks you are ready, I'll let you enroll.
Oh, thank you, Professor Donald. That is really very nice of you.